Hey, what's up, family? Radio. Hey, what's up, family? Welcome to another edition of the Living Day by Day show. This is your girl, Minister Lakeeba Wallace. It is always an honor and an opportunity to be able to come in your homes, on your jobs, and wherever you may be listening to this broadcast. I do apologize. We were having some technical difficulties getting online here. I am hoping that my co-host and the other hostess in the room, if you will. And so, Elder Brown, hopefully I got you. All right. No, Elder Brown, what about Eric? All right. Let me keep on trying to get these people in here. Y'all sit tight for a second. Elder Brown, are you with me? Is Eric with me? Do we have Paris on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Awesome. Well, praise God. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am awesome. It is raining in my area, so I do apologize. I'm not sure if that's the reason why we're having some problems or not, but welcome to the Living Day by Day show, and I am going to render the floor to you, if you will, to give the others some time to come on to the show and just tell the listening audience who you are. You are new to the platform of the Living Day by Day show, and so if you can afford the opportunity for a few minutes or so just to introduce yourself to the listeners and the followers of the Living Day by Day show.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Paris Bellamy. I am the 19-year-old founder and owner of Positively Paris. And Positively Paris is a company that provides motivational speaking services for events and sells merchandise for women who are proud of their morals and embrace who they are. I also am the founder of Youth Nation Seminars, which is an organization that provides motivational and empowering seminars for youth about topics affecting youth today. So with both of my businesses, the real goal for me is to allow people to realize that their past circumstances, their current circumstances, they don't have to define them, and that you are able to move into your future and to live the best life that God has for you. So that's
awesome. And did I hear you say that you are 19? Did I hear that, or was my ears playing tricks on me?
Yes, ma'am. I'm 19. I'm a sophomore in college right now.
Awesome. That is amazing. And so the whole topic or the whole point of the Living Day by Day show, just to kind of give you a little information and also to your followers, hopefully, are also listening to the show, too. So I know you guys are new to our platform. But the Living Day by Day show is all about informing our followers, enhancing our followers, and educating our followers. And so that's what the Living Day by Day platform is all about. We have been around so long, it will take me too much time to tell you how long we have been around. It's such an honor to have the opportunity to bring a show that's full of content, a show where myself, we do have some other hosts that are trying to chime in. I'm not sure what's happening. But we're glad to be able to, you know, have a group of people who were not afraid to tackle issues such as this. And so we have been talking for 3 weeks now. This is our third week. We've been talking about the purpose of sex. And so I do believe Elder Brown just joined us.
Yeah, I'm
or is that awesome? Praise God. And Eric, are
praise
you on the line
Lord
as well? Who else do we have on the line? Eric, are you on the line? Okay, well, we're going to go ahead and get this show rocking and rolling. It's an honor again to have, do I pronounce your name correctly, Paris?
Yes, ma'am, that's my name, Paris.
Okay, awesome. Elder Brown, we're going to go ahead and dive in and start talking about, you know, what we've been dialoguing about for so long, and that is the purpose of sex. In previous segments, we were hitting it very heavy. We were bringing it from an adult standpoint, from a young adult standpoint, also from a teen standpoint. I mean, we were hitting every angle that we could possibly hit to have an effective conversation about the purpose of sex. And so I want to kind of take the conversation that we've been having for 2 weeks, 3 weeks now about the purpose of sex. And so we talked about, you know, how God created man and woman to be able to engage, if you will, in relationship with each other. We talked about how, you know, sex is sacred and it should be among married couples. We talked about how God, in the Bible, he talked about the procreation, that's the purpose of sex. We also kind of dived a little bit into, probably made a couple people mad, but that's okay. We dived and talked about oral sex. You know, a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but we know it is happening among our teens, it's happening among young adults, and it's happening among adults. And all too often it's happening among those class of people that I just mentioned who are not even married. And so we brought you on the show, Paris, to really kind of attack it from you're 19, you're vibrant, you're doing, you know, great things, and I commend you for that. But talk a little bit about the purpose of sex in the eyes of a teen. What is it that, and Elder Brown, I know you want to jump in, you can jump in at any time, but Paris, take the floor and talk about the purpose of sex from a teen perspective.
Well, for me as a teenager, I have made the decision that I am waiting till I'm married. So that is kind of a different decision for a lot of people my age. But a lot of times as teenagers, we kind of have a misconstrued conception of what sex is and what the purpose of it is. And interacting with my peers and people I've known, a lot of times people think that the purpose of sex is kind of just like, it's just something to do, and they really miss out on the point of it in the concept of marriage and things like that. And so a lot of times you'll see people kind of having sex, and either, you know, from women, they might be thinking, okay, this is going to make him love me, this is going to make him stay with me, this is going to create emotions that weren't here in our relationship before. And that often causes problems, because I don't personally believe that sex is something that's going to create feelings that, it's not going to create the feeling that you should have already had before you had sex. So I think of sex as the purpose of it is pretty much when you're married, it's supposed to be a symbol of you taking that relationship to a next level, and it provides a higher bond that you should only really have with that one person that you're married to. And so when you are having sex with other people, you're creating bonds with them that were only meant to be had with your husband or with your wife. And when that happens, it can create issues, because that other person may not really necessarily want to have that strong of a bond with you. And it can really cause problems. So I really think of sex, the purpose of it is to really bond a married couple together. And when it's taken out of that context, it can kind of create a lot of issues and problems for people that they're not necessarily prepared to take on.
So, Paris. Hey, Paris, this is Preacher Brown. So you say that it will not, or it does not, bring those individuals close based upon the feelings that they should have had prior to that? Is that what you're saying?
What I'm saying pretty much is that it's not going – a lot of people have the expectation that sex is going to create feelings greater than what they had before. So they think, you know, a lot of times people say it's making love, but – you can't think of sex as making love. You should already be in love when you're having sex. If there were no feelings behind you doing it, you're not going to get any feelings out of it. You might think that you have them because of, you know, the certain neurotransmitters and things that are released during that time, but you're not going to really create those feelings if they weren't there before.
Okay, so it's not like it induces the feeling. I mean, do you think that it may induce, you know, a feeling? I mean, because there's got to be something that's there for, you know, for two people to get together. It may not be the reasonable thing that we would say that we agree to, but it has to be something that's there that kind of gets the fire going. You know what I mean? I understand your point that, you know, you shouldn't have to create what's already there, but, I think that it can... it can bring in feelings. Let's say, for example, two people who are married, two people who are married, and we just seen on Stevie Harvey's show where there was a couple, and they were having issues. And, you know, the question was asked, you know, are you guys doing it? And she was like, no, I don't feel like it, and he's always doing this, that, and the other. And he was like, man, you got to do it. So that does increase it. It shouldn't be the reason, but it does limit growth in that.
Definitely.
And I like how I like how you brought that out, man. That was good.
Thank you.
And so with your background and seeing a lot of the other teams and that are participating, how have you been able to kind of keep yourself? I'm sure you have friends and friends and friends and friends that have partaked in it. Tell our listening audience what you have been able to do to kind of keep yourself, you know, on top of things.
Well, I'm able to kind of keep myself focused on what, on, you know, waiting till I'm married, because I've realized that, you know, going to college, you're going to meet all different types of people, and people make all different types of decisions. So I've made the decision that I want to wait till I'm married. But just because I'm waiting till I'm married doesn't mean I have to sit around and judge other people that may not have made that decision, because at the end of the day, we all sin, and, you know, who are we to judge? But the way that I kind of keep myself focused is I try to surround myself with people that understand and respect my decision, and then also to just remember that, you know, you can be around a lot of different people, but you don't have to necessarily take on all of their morals and values. So that's how I kind of do that.
Wow.
Awesome. Guys, this is Minnesota Kiva Wallace, and if you are listening to the Living Day by Day show, you're waiting to ask a question, what have you, this is a live show, so please mute your background if you are not talking, so we will not hear your side conversations, if you will. This is the Living Day by Day show, and you are listening to the voice of Radio TV Personality Magazine editor, Minnesota Kiva Wallace. I'm also tag teaming this with Preach, Elder Brown Preach, and Minister Otis is also in the studio, if you will. They are no stranger to media. Preach, Elder Brown is a radio personality and a well-known man of God who is taking the world by storm, and the like for Minister Otis as well. So we take pride in our show, and so we just ask if you're listening or if you're waiting to ask a question to make sure that you mute your line. But I had to chime in here because, Paris, I'm hearing you talking about you're saving yourself. I'm hearing you talking about you're not judging people because, you know, we know in 2015, I mean, really in 2000, teens were and are having premature sex. They're just, you know, they're doing it because, you know, that's what they feel like doing, because they this their boo and they want to express themselves to their boo, whoever their boo may be. But I heard you say that you don't judge them, but what about the class and the group of people who are judging you? There has to be, you know, some people who are looking upon you saying, you know, who you think you are, you think you're good. And I say that because I can walk in those shoes. You know, people really, they kind of ostracize you a little bit and say, especially from a man, you know, perspective, most men don't want to date girls. If the shop is closed, you ain't really getting too many dates once you find out. And you could be cute and all that kind of stuff. As soon as, you know, the dinner and the movie is over and you say, thank you, but I'm going home, you're probably not going to hear from that person anymore. So talk a little bit about that.
Okay, that's actually really funny because I was talking about this earlier today. But, yeah, when you do make that decision, it's funny because a lot of people, they don't want you to judge them because they're having sex, but they'll judge you because you're not. And I've found, you know, I've had guys, you know, they're all up in my text messages. They want to talk to me. They want this and that. They want to go on a date. But as soon as they find out I'm waiting until I'm married, they, like, disappear, fall off the face of the earth. And I used to struggle with that because I'd be like, I'd talk to my mom and I would say, you know, Mom, what's wrong with me? Why are these guys, you know, acting so weird about it and so on and so forth? And what I realized was, yes, waiting till you're married is something that not a lot of people my age are doing. And because of that, because it's so different, there's only really going to be a couple or maybe even just one guy that's genuinely going to appreciate that. And I need to be okay with that because it is something that's so rare. And when you're doing something rare, when you're doing something that's different from what the majority is doing, there's not going to be a lot of people that really understand you. The important thing for me is that they respect me, but there isn't going to be a whole bunch of guys that are going to understand that, that are going to be knocking down my door trying to talk to me. But that's fine with me as long as there is that right one guy that I believe, you know, God has for me that will be coming. So I'm perfectly fine with that because it weeds out people that don't have my best interest at heart.
Wow.
Hey, wow. I mean, you almost want to question yourself and say, are we really talking to a 19-year-old? I hate to say it, but you don't find most 19-year-olds that will have such a stance of such a strong position.
Can we get our ID, can we get her ID back to us, you people? Can we get her ID back to us?
Now, I've realized that, you know, when you're doing something, you got to be confident in what you're doing, and that's how people will respect you. If I'm iffy about it, if I'm like, you know, well, I don't know, you know, people aren't going to respect that. But when you come off and when you are confident in what you believe in and who you are, people end up respecting it. And I've had many people that they may do a lot of different things than what I do, but they respect me and we can have a friendship because they're like, you know, you're confident in what you're doing. You don't feel bad because you're waiting. You don't feel bad because of your morals or things like that. And that's how I'm able to just, you know, keep it moving and enjoy life.
Awesome. Well, I mean, I really commend you, you know, and, I, you know, people who know and follow me know I'm very candid. I'm very transparent. But that wasn't my story at 19. just keep it real. That was not my story at 19. I am sorry. I promise you. If I, looking back on time, I say, Lord, I was a good kid, but, Lord, I was very inquisitive. And so we also have another host that's on the phone, guest host. I'm sure he wants to dive in and elaborate as well. So, Minister Otis, what are your thoughts about the conversation that we've been having with Paris, who has clearly and boldly said that she's celibate, she's saving herself, she's waiting, she don't care how, you know, other teens or other people may view her. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, first of all, I applaud that young lady. I applaud her because, see, like God said, we are peculiar people. We are different. We're not supposed to, the average guy is not supposed to desire her. And she's supposed to save herself. Because, understand something, a rock is cheap. You can find a rock anywhere. But a diamond is rare. And that's what you are, young sister. You are a diamond. And you remember that. And you stand on that. And you keep that because, you see, it's funny. The right way is the way you're doing it. But the world has got so converted that they make us think the right way is the wrong way. They want us to think wrong is right and right is wrong. Now, you take a stand. See, my youngest son, he's been married a year now, and he got married at 25, okay? And he was a virgin when he got married. I got teary-eyed because unlike me, I was like, yeah, I was no virgin at 25. I wasn't a virgin at 15, but that's another story.
TMI.
I raised him, you know, with the right morals. See, I had no one to teach me. I'm not saying that to justify it, but I had no one to teach me. So I applaud you being 19 and taking a stance like that. And the last thing you want to do is feel bad about people not, I don't know, wanting to distance themselves from you. That's a good thing. That's a blessing that people want to distance themselves from you because you're taking a stand and have godly morals. You know, cause that there's nothing wrong with that. The devil is a liar. Don't you ever think that feeling guilty or bad or think something's wrong with you taking a stand. We all supposed to be the way you are. All people, all children your age, or I'm sorry, all young adults your age is supposed to feel that way and think that way. But they're not taught that. See, the youth today is taught like the young males, I can't call them men, but the young males are thinking the more girls they got, the more they are a man. That's what the world teaches them. And then the girls are saying, well, what you saving yourself for? I didn't have four or five guys, but, and you think that's cool. That's not cool. Mm-hmm. You know, there's nothing cool about that. Because, see, with all these diseases out here today, trust me, that's the last thing you want to do. And another thing I want to speak on is the fact that, your morals, who taught you your morals? Why, you know, you're an awesome young lady. Who taught you how to be that way?
Oh, yeah. Well, I learned my morals mainly from my grandparents and my mom, and as well as just experiences and growing in my faith with God, because you can learn a lot of things from your relatives and the people that you know. But when you go through things and it's like the only person I have to count on is God, and you get deeper into his word and you kind of are able to see, what do I believe in? What will I not do? What will I do? I think mm-hmm. that experience and the people like your family are the best teachers for that, because when you've experienced something, when you've seen other people experience things, and then when you know that God was the only person that got you through it, when God was the only person that
Amen.
You could call on at that time, that really helps you form your morals and values. Because a lot of times people my age, our morals are just like, you know, your parents told you this was right, your parents told you this was wrong, but you've never really experienced anything that has tested you or really helped you to be
right.
firm in those morals. But I know for me, in my personal life, the experiences that I've had and the experiences that I'll continue to have really helped me to be firm in those morals and to recognize what I believe in, what I don't believe in, what I will do, what I won't do.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, I was thinking about what we said earlier as far as being connected, you know, and those soul ties are really rough. See, when people don't realize when you're having sex with someone, it's not someone. You're having sex with at least 1,000 people because you have because spirits are transferable. You're having sex with everyone they have sex with, and everyone they have sex with, and everyone they have sex with. So soul ties. It's the thing God wants to keep us away from. The only one you're supposed to have a soul tie to is your spouse, not everybody in the neighborhood, not that cute guy or that pretty woman. You know, your soul tie is sacred, and it's serious. It's a serious issue, and that's what God wants to keep us away from. But, Mr. Lakeeba, if I could, you know, I would like to back up what I said with Scripture. It's just three verses, 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5 out of Amplified, and it reads, "For this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, and set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice." I say that to say this. I've had young adults come to me and say, "Well, there's nothing wrong with oral sex because we're not doing anything." But here, God makes it clear. You should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice. That each one of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in consecration, purity separated from things profane, and honor, not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen, who are ignorant to the true God and have no knowledge of his will. So that's for you, young sister. You need a scripture to stand on. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5 out the Amplified. And you stand on that, and any man will appreciate you being a virgin once you get married. This is God's will. Once you get married, any man will appreciate that. Now I say that because, like last week I shared, it is a difference between a male and a man. See, God God said, "Let us create man in our image." The word man comes from the Hebrew word ish, which means a fire controlled by God. And you, young lady, are a woman, because woman comes from the Hebrew word isha, which means the same thing, a fire controlled by God. So you don't want to marry a male. A male can be a dog. A man can. But the world is so confused. We run around saying, "Oh, my man's a dog." This man, no, it's impossible for a man to be a dog. A male can, but a male can't. And I just want to share that with you. You continue to stand. God's going to bless you real good. He's going to give you a Boaz. He's going to give you a Boaz. And that name Boaz means in him is strength. So you just take a stand, and God can only bless you for that. He's going to bless you.
Thank you.
I said you got her smiling so hard on the phone.
A to God be the glory.
She didn't walk into a prophecy. But it's real, though. It's real because a lot of, you know, just like Otis said, there are a lot of people that have it twisted. When I say twisted, they really have it twisted.
Yeah.
They make wrong to be right, and they make right to be wrong. And I'm just waiting for the day in between becomes good because it's just so, everything is so backwards now. You know what I mean? And I'm scared to cross the street because I don't know if I'm jaywalking or not, you know, and things are just so backwards. But when you have someone take a stand, taking a stand means that you have a purpose. You cannot take a stand unless you have purpose. I'll say that again. Taking a stand means you have purpose. You cannot take a stand unless there's purpose, unless there's a divine order for what you're taking a stand for. And a lot of times people don't understand. They think, well, you don't want to give yourself away because of marriage. Marriage is a good thing, but there's more to it than just that. You don't want to give yourself away because you have morals. You don't want to give yourself away because you respect yourself. You don't want to give yourself away because you want to have something to tell your kids that I held myself. So marriage is not necessarily should be the catalyst of why you're keeping yourself. It's good to use that as the catalyst of why I'm not going to engage in that or what the purpose of this and the purpose of that is for. But what really would slap a person in their face, I did say slap, is that you say, I have morals, because a lot of people in this world, they don't have morals. Everything is thrown out the door. You know what I mean? They kiss and slob and chew and bite all on the first date, and they wonder why on the second date no one has nothing to talk about. So, but when you have morals, you're saying you're different. You're better. I'm not going to say you're better. Well, yeah, you are better.
Yeah.
If you have morals, you're better than those who don't have morals. And anybody wants to inbox me and fight me on that, come on with it, because it's the truth. If you don't have morals, then you have nothing. And those who have morals are better than those who don't have morals. Amen.
I think that is so well said, and it's so needed in this day and time when you have so many teens who are misled by other teens. I know my son would not want me to say this, but there's times when I'm stopping teens at the door, like, where are you going? Mm-hmm. I don't know what my son told you, but you ain't coming up in here because I can just see it all over you. You ain't got your mind right, baby. This, when you cross this door right here, this is the door for people who got their mind right. You got your mind right, you know. So I really, really am excited about this show because I think it's such a message that needs to be sent out there. I mean, we applaud, you know, people for this and we applaud people for that, but it is definitely necessary to applaud those teens such as yourself because you are an example to somebody else who might be struggling. You know, and I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It's possible, but it's not easy, you know, being a teen and then you have, you know, your boyfriend or your girlfriend pressuring you about sex and you want to be in the in crowd and, you know, you really like him because he's so cute and he on the football team and all of that and she a cheerleader and, you know, you got a lot of pressure and you really want to be in the in crowd when you are a teenager. So I certainly do understand that. And I want you to, you know, for those hopefully your fans and followers and other teens are listening to this show or will listen to it when it re-airs, but talk a little bit about, and we've tapped, you know, around it and danced around it, if you will, oral sex for teens. You know, do you feel like someone will lose their virginity if they only have oral sex? Because there's a lot of conversation going on about that. Well, I haven't physically had sex with somebody. I mean, we haven't laid down. He hasn't physically entered inside of me, if you will. Y'all know I can be very, you know, respectful and professional, but I like to explain myself. And so I hear some people saying that, well, we haven't did the do, if you will, but yeah, what's a little oral sex? How do you feel about that, Paris? Do you feel like that really strips a woman of her virginity or a man of, or a young man of his virginity if you choose to have oral sex?
For me personally, I think, I count oral sex as sex because it has the word sex in it. You learn about health, anything like that. It is classified as a type of sex, even though it's not the traditional sex that people are thinking about. it is sex, and you can get an STD just the same. You can't get, you know, you're not going to get pregnant or anything based off that, but it still is sex. And even, you know, even if you want to just do that and you don't want to do the traditional sex that people think about, it still is kind of like, okay, so you do that, your partner's going to be expecting to do more eventually. And so I feel like, you know, since it is a type of sex and, you know, it's not going to, you know, if you, it's just the same as if, you know, if you engage in regular sex penetration and things of that sort, it's not going, the woman, you know, if you do that, yes, you have lost your virginity, but that doesn't mean that you can never reclaim, you know, your body back. It doesn't mean that you can't decide to be celibate. It doesn't make you this terrible person that can never come back from it. But it does, you know, you aren't a virgin anymore. So I don't think that oral sex is exempt from that type of classification. I count it as sex.
Well, I gotta jump in here because I promise you I'm going to get in trouble. But there was a president, I'm not going to say any names because we're live right now. His quote was, "I did not have sex with that woman, blank, blank, blank," whatever her name was. And I scratched my head because, you know, he was telling the truth. But was he? So you're right, you know, whether it's the traditional way, whether it's not the traditional way, if there's anything that deals with, you know, what's the word am I looking for? Participation in arousal, whatever the case may be.
Pleasure.
Pleasure. It's sex. I don't care how you do it. You can say it through a milk carton or upside down through a flower pot. If something happens, that's considered sex, whether you like it or not.
I agree with that, and I think those definitions are definitely needed to share because people, some teens don't feel that way. And I don't really want to harp on the teens because you got some adults who feel that way. Let's just be real. You got some adults who feel, oh, this just going to be. I'm serious. You know, this, the majority of adults, right?
Most people that come to me are adults. They're struggling. I have mostly, like, you know, I teach men's ministry. But most of the men, and female, I got women too, they come to me. These are grown people. These are grown folks. They're struggling. And, you know, and my response to them is stop watering that seed. What I mean by that is, like, with the males that are struggling, they have this thing where, Miss Otis, you don't understand. You know, I just can't stop. I said, well, what are you doing? What are you looking at? Are you watching porn? Are you looking at certain videos that you're going to be just looking at? I understand you're a grown man, but when you do these things, you're watering that seed. If you have two plants and you only water one and don't water the other one, eventually that plant's going to die. But the seed is still there. So as soon as you start watering it again, it will grow. So if you're feeding that lust spirit, it's going to come alive. And once that lust spirit comes back alive, now you're dealing with all types of things, you know. And when Satan, we all know, when Satan lose you once, he coming back with seven more homeboys. So it's going to be even harder to kick it this time. So my response is always, don't water the seed.
Wow.
It's there, but don't water it. You know,
I said you just helped like 97 people.
I mean, you know, because married couples, God, I don't know why, but a lot of married couples come to me and they, what should I do, you know? And then I deal with a lot of married men who actually commit adultery while they're making love to their wives.
Oh.
They say, well, how do you do that? Somebody say, well, how do you do that? Well, if you're thinking about another woman while you're making love to your wife, you are committing adultery. Because God said, that what you think goes into your heart. Once it's in your heart, in God's eyes, you've done it. See, Coach, so it gets deeper. it gets deeper now. You know, same thing with women. I personally know Christian women that don't have a problem with their husband going to strip club because they feel that when they come home from the strip club, he really puts it on them. Mr. Lakeem, you know how I am. I'm just going to tell it. He really puts it on them. But the problem with that is he ain't thinking about you. He thinking about Pocahontas. He's thinking about you. He's thinking about Sugar. Boquisha, whoever that left, he left at the strip club. That's what he's thinking about. But the sad part is a lot of women don't care. They don't care.
Wow.
I'm talking about Christians now. I'm talking about safe folks. I'm not talking about just regular folks. I'm talking about safe folks. So we got the world is really, really jacked up at this point. So I applaud this young lady for taking a stand like that, because not only can she teach young people, but she can teach older people as well.
I know, right?
And Terrence, I should have given you a disclaimer before the show started that, you know, we are a little radical on the show, especially when we have guest hosts like Minister Otis and Preach Elder Brown Preach trying to act like he all, you know, quiet and modest, you know.
I was getting ready to go there. Not Otis to name all the ladies from the Players Club, the movie. I was just sitting over here thinking, like, he to name all the ladies from the strip club from the Players movie. But the realness behind I'm gonna get in trouble. But the realness behind that is this, though. One of the reasons could be that excitement that the married women like is that edginess that he brings home. He's coming home with that edginess. He's not coming home quoting scriptures. He's not coming home, you know. He's coming out of revival, but he's coming home. He's got this edginess. He's got this roughness about himself. Do we have any bleepers? I don't want the line to be bleeped, what I'm about to say. So he's coming in with this intensity, and his slang off, his tie, throw his briefcase. She don't want him to walk in quiet and, you know, turn the key in the door. She wants him to boom, come in the door, throw the key down, grab it by her throat. And just, you know, my goodness, I don't think I want to go there. Grab her by the throat, slam her down the bed, because that stuff ain't in the Bible. And I think some women who have been married, they've seen that action on television, and they kind of want that. They call it RP. They call it role playing. Because if I was married and I was at home and the wife came in and slung a purse across the chandelier and came in, started ripping off a wig and eyebrows and stuff like that, I'd be looking at her like, okay, well, come on. But it's an attitude of what you have been seeing on TV. And a lot of times, a lot of these couples are role-playing some of these things that they see on TV, some of these things they see on Empire. Don't let Empire kill your marriage.
Okay.
Well, not only Empire, what's the name of that other show, too? The real hot show with 50 Cent. It's, oh, my God, what's the name of it? That is killing. I think the guy who plays, forget what his name, but I'm sure he is really clouding the vision of some men, of some women, and probably some men, too. You just never know. God, can I think of his name? But if you have not watched Power, Lord, it is clouding some marriages, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. That person feeling all good and dandy. Like, I need you to walk in this door. Matter of fact, don't walk in the door. Just kick the door in. We'll get it fixed. You know, grab the microwave. Put me on the microwave. Turn the microwave on 30 seconds. Okay, never mind. Put the microwave on 2 minutes and just go.
Lord.
I gotta step in now. Now the microwave. I can see the washing machine on. I can see the washing machine on spin cycle, but the microwave.
Yeah, hey, right.
Hey, let me tell you, radiation do some numbers. No.
Oh Lord, mercy.
Okay, I'm done.
Hold on. But you know what, Mr. Lakeba, here's the thing. If they don't hear it here, where they gonna hear that?
That is true. That is so true.
If they don't hear it here, see, that's what's wrong. See, the church, We want to candy coat stuff. We don't want to tell the truth. We don't want to tell the real. We want to candy coat and make it sound all sweet and everything. They want to go out in the street. They said, well, they're not telling me this in the church. The pulpit is not teaching the real. They're giving them a little something, you know, but they're not giving it to them the way they need to hear it, you know. And their lives are a problem, another problem,
right.
You know. Where do they get it from? They can't come. I remember years ago, I went to an elder. I was going to a Baptist church. I ain't going to say the name. And I went to the head deacon, and I said to him, I was young.
Not the head deacon.
I said, Deacon, it's fornication sin. This man looked at me after he lit his cigarette and took a puff. Yeah, I said, lit his cigarette and took a puff. He said, well, Otis, if you love her and she love you, it's okay. God understands. And I looked at this man like, I didn't know what I didn't receive that meant back then, but I didn't receive that mess. I'm like, what? If she loved me and I love her, it's okay. God understands. And you know, that's a problem. We expect God to be okay with stuff. God created us. We didn't create him. Why do we want God to be okay with our mess, with our shacking and our, you know, having sex with whoever and the thing with the same-sex marriages? You know, that thing that's really messing me with it. Same-sex marriages. It's standing on, you know, it's a law that's standing on the 14th Commandment. Only problem with that is there's no such thing as a 14th commandment. But we'll talk about that another time. This law, people are getting married, same-sex marriages, under a law that's under the 14th amendment, but the 14th amendment don't exist.
Right.
But that goes to show you how messed up the world is. Let me stop. I'm going to come back. I'm going to
You may as well go down the block. You're already there.
Right, right. Don't be trying to press on the brake now. You cruising now.
Right.
So for those of you who might be just tuning in to the Living Day by Day show, we want to thank you for tuning into this dialogue about the purpose of sex, and we are chatting it up with none other than the beautiful and talented, and I must say, celibate. Yes, I said that, Paris Bellamy, and it has truly been an awesome opportunity just for her to be transparent and to share who God has created her to be. I would encourage you out there, this is Minister Lakeba Wallace, if you're wondering who this is. And next to me is Elder Brown and Minister Otis. If you're wondering out there, what should you do if you're placed in a situation and you are pressured and you want to give in, but then there's a part of you that you don't want to give in. You know, you ride in the fence. You love Jesus. You want to abide by Jesus, but, you know, you really like him or you really like her. What should you do? And so since I'm not a teen anymore, I'm going to give Paris the opportunity to speak to those teens who may be listening out there about what do you do when you're in a situation and the lights are off or they almost off, they dim, what have you, and the pressure is on. What do you do? You know, you want to give in, but you don't want to give in. It's like, you know, you got something in your head saying go and do it and something else, another voice saying no, stay pure. So, Paris, how would you encourage those group of teens who might be struggling?
I would say definitely don't, like, when you're making a big decision, I'm one of those people where it's like, if I have to make a big decision and I feel like it's on the spot, I have to say, you know, I got to take some time to think about it, because when you're, like, in the moment and all these emotions and things are going, you kind of just, like, everything just keeps rolling. It's like an avalanche, but somebody's got to step in front of it, or something's got to stop that avalanche before you end up doing something you're going to regret. And it was funny because my freshman year, I had never really, like, I had dated people, but I had never really gone on, like, an official date or, like, dated someone that I, like, went to school with. I had dated people, like, that, you know, went to different high schools and things of that sort, but I had never really dated people that I went to school with. So when I went to college, it was completely different type of thing, because it's like you are the one that sets your own boundaries. Your parents aren't here to set them for you. You know, no one's really around to set those boundaries for you. Of course, in my school, we do have certain rules and things of that sort. But I had to, you know, I had to be willing to set those boundaries for myself in certain situations. If you know it's going to be tempting, or you know that it might escalate to something more than what it is, You got to just be able to remove yourself from that situation before it even happens. Like, if you know that you can't go over to that cute boy's room because it's going to turn into something more than what it needs to be, then you might have to just meet him in the lobby. Or if you know that, you know, you guys hanging out after a certain time is going to turn out to more than what you, you know, what you planned on it being, if you know that Netflix and chill or going to see a movie together isn't really going to be Netflix and chill, it's going to be a lot more than that, then maybe you all need to read a book together somewhere else. And so when you're tempted and things like that, you just kind of have to recognize that you're tempted and don't feel bad about it, like, oh, you know, I'm this terrible person because I'm tempted. But, you know, everybody gets tempted by things. It's just that you have to not allow that temptation to take over you and to affect the decision that you have decided to make as far as waiting. So I think that's really important when you do feel tempted, is just not to let that avalanche effect just keep on rolling and to be able to stop it. And then once you realize, okay, this is in a situation that is going to be good for me and my morals, then you kind of have to back up from that situation. And then also you have to put some accountability onto the other person that you're with. If that person knows that you're waiting till you're married, they shouldn't be trying to pressure you to do something like that, because if they are, they really don't respect or care about your morals. And I've found that out with guys. You know, they might say, oh, I think that's cool, I think that's whatever, but if every time I'm with you, you keep trying to do more than what I, you know, I've already told you I don't do, then you don't really care about me and you don't really respect me, and then you have to go. Because you're trying to get in between me and my morals and me and my relationship with God. And as a man, you're supposed to be someone that's helping me get closer. You're supposed to be someone that is like an accountability type of partner. If you're just trying to have fun and you don't really care about my, you know, spiritual well-being, we don't need to be together, because how are you going to leave this relationship and you're not centered on God, or you're not centered on your own morals and you can't respect mine? That's a problem. You got to go. So.
Yeah, that's a very bold stance, because it allows both both man and woman to at least talk about things that most people won't talk about. And it's sad that at the end of the day, the relationship never talks about sex at the end of the day. It's always, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And sex is not a topic, but not sex is a topic to say we're going to do it, but it's a topic of accountability. Like, listen, I'm trying to keep myself. What are your thoughts? And I think, you know, when those conversations happen, that's when you'll find out that you got a keeper. You know what I mean? If he's going to say, well, you know, I'm really waiting till I get married, or she's going to say, you know, hey, I'm waiting till I get married. But I think, you know, I'm kind of funny and bold, because I'll be the kind of person like, you know, hey, you want something right now? I'm like, yeah, okay, see, are you playing? See, I knew you was just playing. And sometimes you got to really make sure. No, I'm serious. Sometimes you really have to make sure. You remind me, when I was a kid, my mom would go, we would go in the store with my mom, and I know I got at least 87 listeners that's going to agree to this, but my mom would say, we would stop right at the threshold of the store, and she would say, you look at anything in here, I don't care, but don't touch it and don't ask me to buy it. And I would look at my mom like, okay, well, why are you taking me into the store? I can look at it, can't touch it, and you ain't going to buy it. Why are we here? And that's how men, I'm serious, that's how men are. Women, you're listening to me now, if you invite Larry, John, Bill, Bob, David, and a few other guys, if you invite him to your room, let me tell you, he's not coming up there to see how many flowers you got on your wall. So it's that same scenario when my mom would take me as a kid, take me to the store. Now, she gave me some instructions, but now how many men, how many boys you know are going to follow instructions on, I'm taking you to the store. You can see all this good stuff, but you can't touch it. And I think a lot of women put men, and I'm going to be real, you don't like me, that's fine. A lot of women put men in situations where it makes the man feel like he's going to get him some. Wait, I ain't done. A lot of men put women in situations to make her feel like, oh, yeah, he about to give it up. We all put ourselves in these vulnerability. You talked about accountability, but let's talk about vulnerability. We put ourselves in a situation to make the other person feel like they're going to get some. And, you know, you know the map to get some is the ear, the neck, the shoulder, it's a wrap. We all know this. We all know this. And so we have to quit putting ourselves, I just helped 9 people. We always put ourselves in these situations where we never think about, you know, the consequences. And right when Lakeba was asking you that question, Paris, with the, she mentioned about the lights being out. Turn the light on. Turn the light on. You know, sometimes you got to go, why is it dark in there? I know it's romantic.
Real talk.
But we can be romantic with the lights on. Show me your skill on how good you are being romantic with the lights on. Because the lights out is just a subliminal message, meaning ain't nobody going to see what's going on. And the devil
that's
is alive.
That's
so,
something I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay,
why
the
lights off?
Yeah, why the lights off?
Turn the lights off. Yeah.
Hey, turn the lights on.
Get up.
You know, I could be romantic. I could be romantic with the lights out, but I want her to understand the reason why the lights are out because I'm trying to set the moment. Okay, what moment are we trying to set? To watch the movie. Sometimes you have to tell. No, seriously. Sometimes you have to tell the woman. She want to know why the lights out, and she's not trying to say, you know, you're trying to do something, but at least make her feel comfortable. Sweetheart, the reason why the lights are out, because I'm trying to set an ambiance so we can watch the movie. I'm not trying to try anything. I'm not going to do nothing. I just want us to be, you know, watch the movie in quiet. A woman will respect that more than walking into a blind situation. You got the lights out. You got chocolate laid all on the floor. You know, you got a string. Once you pull the string, all of a sudden clothes are off. We want to know what's going on. Because if I come to your house, and you got the mood set, I'm going to ask certain questions like, oh, what's that? Oh, what's that? And the only reason why I'm going to ask that is because I want to make sure that even though I'm on your territory, I don't slip. Hello, somebody. I'm done.
Say that. Yeah, and, you know, this conversation is just so valid right now. It really is. Y'all cracking my side, I promise you, about turning the lights on. You know, why them lights off, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
that's
walking
real
in.
That's
oh
real.
My God.
Like, get up. Say, excuse me a minute. Get up. Turn the lights on and sit back down. You know? That's all. Ain't nothing. You know, no pressure.
Bible study with the lights off. Come on, who does that?
Y'all are silly. Yeah. Well, it has been an amazing time. It has been an amazing time just to have the opportunity to dialogue about the last show entitled The Purpose of Sex. And I'm glad that Paris Bellamy had a time in her busy schedule to just come on the show and really talk very candidly about, you know, the purpose of sex from a teen perspective. And I must say, I was looking on your Facebook page, and you rocking this shirt that I think it says "Gorgeous Girl" or something like that. And,
oh, gorgeous girls wink too.
Oh, love that! And you are a gorgeous girl, and I'm glad to know that you are waiting. You know, for all of you Facebook followers and friends out there, I'm going to post that picture. This young lady is absolutely stunning. And young men, if you are out there and you think, you know, that you're getting ready to have yourself a good time with this young lady, you got your mind wrong.
got it twisted.
It is not going to happen. But as this show comes to a close, we have just about a couple minutes here. Paris, tell the listening audience how they may be able to get in contact with you.
Well, like you said, you can get in contact with me on Facebook. My name is Paris Bellamy, but it's not spelled the traditional Paris. It's P-E-A-R-I-S, and then it's Bell Amy, B-E-L-L-A-M-Y. I also have an Instagram. For any people that are on Instagram, it's Paris Bellamy, real simple. Twitter, Paris_Bellamy, also simple. And I also have a website where you can actually purchase the Gorgeous Girls Wake 2 shirt. It's www.positivelyparis.com. So that's any way you can get in contact with me. You can DM me, message me, anything of that sort if you ever want to talk to me.
Awesome. Well said. In our last 2 minutes, Elder Brown, please give out your website because I know somebody out there want to continue to hear your radical comments.
They can reach me at www.LaKeevaWallace. No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. Y'all send all that good encouraging mail my way. I am on Facebook, Preach Elder Brown Preach at Facebook. I'm also on YouTube, also on Twitter, Preach Elder Brown Preach. I did the one with the picture. What they call that with the picture? Somebody help me out. What is that?
Instagram.
I'm on InstaShame. I am on InstaShame. Just look up Preach Elder Brown Preach. I'm on there making a shame out of these pictures. Lord help me. And also www.unleashrevivaltour.com. That's also where you can reach Preach Elder Brown Preach. God bless you.
Awesome. 10 seconds, Minister Otis. Where's some information where people may be able to get in contact with you?
Well, they can always. I get a lot of questions when in the inbox near Facebook. Otis Hart Jr. If you do Otis Hart the son, you'll get my son, my youngest son. But it's Otis Hart Jr. on Facebook, and I'm on Instagram, Sweet and Low 555.
That's
awesome. Sweet and Low 555.
Gotcha.
Awesome. Sweet and low. Well, guys, thank y'all so much for another of y'all are crazy.
I ain't messing with that. I'm not messing with that. This is the last show, Sweet and Low.
Right. We're going to have to do this again, but I thank you again, Paris, for being a guest on the Living Day by Day show. It has been an honor. I'm sure you and I are going to enhance our networking abilities. For those of you out there who want to continue to follow Minister LaKeevah, you're welcome, sweetie. You can visit my website at www.livingdaybyday.net. Again, thank you for tuning in to another awesome, awesome, powerful episode of the Living Day by Day show. And guess what? I always end the show by saying, we all love you real good, and you can't do anything about it. Y'all be blessed.